I'm going to look back at the letter of the Hebrews today. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? I want you to repeat after me. The Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper.
I will not be afraid.
I will not be afraid.
What can anyone do to me? Again, the Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper.
I will not be afraid.
I will not be afraid.
What can anyone do to me?
What can anyone do to me?
I want you to say it as if you mean it and believe it. The Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper.
I will not be afraid.
I will not be afraid.
What can anyone do to me?
What can anyone do to me?
Amen and amen. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper.
Amen.
Amen.
If the Lord is our helper, my friends, then why? How? How could we ever? Why should we ever be afraid? If the Lord is our helper, what can we? How can we ever, ever fail? If the Lord is our helper, we cannot ever truly be afraid. If we believe with our hearts and act in faith on the promise that he will never leave us or forsake us, if we truly believe that the Lord is our helper, then we will say, I will not be afraid. My friends, the promise that we have in the Christian life, the promise that we have as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, the promise that we have is that the Lord will never leave us or forsake us. The Lord is indeed our helper. And it's a rhetorical question. What can anyone do to us? The answer is nothing. Not a thing. Certainly not Satan. Although he will try, and he tries hard, even he cannot do anything unless we let our guard down, unless we invite him to do something. The Lord is our helper indeed. We have that as our promise. He will never leave us or forsake us. We have that as our promise. And because we have this as our promise, He places before us some directions to follow. So looking in the letter to the Hebrews today, I want to lift out, I think, five of them. Yes, five. Firstly, he begins by saying, let mutual love continue. Now, the word here for love is not agape. Now, we've heard about the three forms, the three Greek words for love. There's eros, sex, philadelphia, or phileo, or phileos, or philia, which is more like friendship, brotherly, sisterly love, the kind of love that you have for your brother and your sister, even though you'd rather really punch him in the arm. And then there is agape, or agapao love, the highest form of love, the love that God gives, the love that was shown forth on the cross when Jesus stretched out his arms and died for our sins. Those three forms of love. And here we don't have, it doesn't say agape love, it says Philadelphia. Ha Philadelphia meneto. Let brotherly love remain or abide. When I was studying Greek in seminary, we had to figure out neat little tricks to remember difficult words, and I had a real hard time with the word meneo, which means to remain or abide, until my Greek professor, Dr. Eford, looked at me and said, Greg, that's an easy one to remember. Just remember that the minnow remained or abided on Gilligan's Island. The minnow. Remained or abided on Gilligan's Island. I'll never forget now that the Greek word to remain or abide is meneo, or minnow. To remain or abide. Of course, that also brings to mind the Gilligan's Island song, but we won't go there. Anyway, ha Adelphia meneto. Let brotherly love remain, abide, continue. It assumes that it's already there. It's already present in the family of faith. It already functions in the family of faith. It assumes that it's already here. Not create brotherly love amongst you. Not allow it to come to life in you. But no, let it continue. Let it remain or abide amongst you. This brotherly love. This sisterly love. This sibling love. Which means, you know, Jim may do something that I just, you know, just grates against my nerves. But you know what? I'm called to have Philadelphia towards Jim. And that may mean that I'd rather punch him in the arm. I hope I didn't hurt you there. But I do love him. That's not agape love, by the way. That's phileo. That's the secondary, middle form of love. Some people translate it as like. It's not like. It is love. But it's a love that exists due to the relationship that we have together as brothers in Christ. It's the love that I have for my brother. I also pray I have agape love towards him that comes from God. But sometimes my brother does things that I don't particularly like. And I have love towards him. Brotherly love. It's a love that we are called to have and that goes beyond whether or not you actually like them. It's a love that causes us to treat others as family. And that's not always easy because families have fights and squabbles. Point two. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. As if we hadn't already caught it, the apostle nails it home even further with this passage that we are called to love one another. The word hospitality is an interesting one. It is philoxenia, philoxenia. And if you hear, if you listen carefully, you can hear phileo, Philadelphia. Hear that sound? That phil sound? Philoxenia. based on the same word for the middle form of love. It means that we are to treat others, outsiders, people who are not members of the family, as if they were members of the family. Yep, that's what hospitality means. To treat people who are outsiders, to treat people who are not members of our family or our group or our church or our community or our town, to treat outsiders as if they were our kin. To treat them with kindness, kindness. You ever hear that word when you go to the hospital and you want to see someone and the first thing they ask you is, are you next of kin? What does that mean? They're asking you, are you related? Are they your sister, your brother, your mother, your father, your grandfather, your grandmother, your child? Are you somehow closely related to them? Are you kindred with them? And from that, the English has the word kind, be kind to each other. We are called to treat those outside as if they were part of our very families. With philoxenia, hospitality, brotherly acceptance. That doesn't mean we have to love everything they do, but it means we are to welcome them. My friends, how welcoming are we? How loving are we? Do we have phileo for each other, brotherly love, sisterly love for each other? Are we hospitable and welcoming to people outside? My friends, sometimes we do not even have brotherly love for the people sitting near us in the pews. If we're honest with ourselves, that's true. If we can't have brotherly and sisterly love towards the people near us in the pews, how can we have it for people outside those doors? The apostle is very clear. Let brotherly love remain and abide amongst you. And do not fail to show that same love, that same acceptance, that hospitality towards others, people outside. Because you never know when you might meet a messenger of God. That's point two. Here's point three. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Wow. As though you were in prison with them. Frequently we want to treat and think about those who are imprisoned as being the outcasts. I mean, they're even worse than those outside the doors to whom we're called to be hospitable. They're ugh. And the apostle's very clear. You show brotherly love towards each other. You show hospitality, which is brotherly love, towards outsiders. And you do so also towards those who were in prison as if you were there yourselves. Well, does he really mean prison, like right over here? Yep. He means prison. People behind bars, as if we were there ourselves, sharing the imprisonment, because in many ways we are. A family that has a loved one who is imprisoned is truly imprisoned themselves. There is in the Emmaus community, we have a lot of Emmaus members in our community, in this church here, and there's a community within the Emmaus community that has dedicated itself to ministry to people who are in prison, called Kairos. Well, there's also a form of that ministry for the families of those who are outside, particularly the wives or the mothers or the grandmothers of those who are outside, who need the touch of Christ and the reminder that God loves them and cares for them. And God loves those who are in prison too. We can be literally behind bars and imprisoned, or we can be in prisons of our own making, unable to get out, and in need of someone to reach in. We're called to have brotherly love toward each other here in these pews, towards those outside these doors. We're called to be hospitable in brotherly love towards them. And even more, we're called to have a care and a concern and a brotherly love towards those held in prison, both literal prisons and the prisons of the mind. We're called to reach out to them as if we ourselves were there. And to those who are tortured, mistreated, ill-treated, are the alternative translations there, ill-treated, abused, we're called to have love towards them. So frequently in our society, we see people who are abused, neglected, women who are battered, children who are abused, and we want to shun them for fear of what might be said about us. We are called, no, to love and to gather them in and to support them with the brotherly love we are called to have for each other. That's a powerful call, my friends. Next. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. And you may be saying to yourself, what does this have to do with the previous portions? I mean, we've talked about brotherly love and sisterly love. We've talked about hospitality towards strangers. We've talked about ministry to those who are in prison and those who are abused. What? He switches now to sex. Yep. Because one of the abuses in the early church was the idea that if you were supposed to have brotherly love and sisterly love toward each other, that meant you could do things like swap wives. Yep. And Paul says, no. You keep your marriage covenant intact. You don't engage in adultery. Nor do you engage in fornication, which is sex not violating the marriage covenant, just simply outside of it. In other words, brotherly love is not a call to eros, which is sexual love. It's a call to love, which is beyond all such concepts. In other words, this is a correction, a corrective note, a side note, if you will, almost a parenthesis saying, you're called to love each other, you're called to be hospitable towards each other, you're called to reach out to those who are in prison and those who are abused, but that doesn't mean you're supposed to be hopping beds in your love. Your love is honorable. Your love is righteous. Love of a brother and a sister. That's what we're called to have. Next. Keep your lives free from the love of money. And be content with what you have. Now, you know, thus far he's been preaching. Now he's gone to meddling. He was preaching before. Preaching about love, preaching about hospitality, preaching about people in prison and those who are in prisons of the mind and the body. And then he preached about sex, and we can accept preaching about sex. But now he's preaching about money. We better watch our wallets. What's going to come next? My friends, we're called to love each other. We're called to love God first. We're called to love each other. We're called to love those who are outside. We're called to love those who are in prison. But we're not called to love each other sexually, and we're not called to love money. Instead, we're called to depend upon each other, depend upon God for what we need. And that is the root of what I had us proclaim today. What I had us quote in shouts from the scriptures today. Where it says, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Directly related to the promise, I will never leave you or forsake you, which means he will be with us to empower us to love one another, to be hospitable to those who are outside, to reach out to those who are in prisons of whatever kind, to keep our covenant relationship in our marriages and in our singleness, and in overcoming the idolatry of money. And he will empower us to do all these things. He will never leave us or forsake us. That's good news, my friends. That means he is here to bind us together as a family of love, to bind us together as a community, a family of faith, to bind us together as kindred hearts and minds and spirits, to serve others outside these walls with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to express God's love towards all. My friends, can you have that kind of love toward each other? That sometimes means setting aside perceived slights, bad words, and hurt feelings, and reaching out in brotherly and sisterly love towards those who might have said something that hurt you. That means reaching out and being hospitable to people who don't always look and smell like us. That means reaching out to those in prisons, those who are in prisons of body and mind, locked up behind bars of fear and oppression. That means keeping our relationships in right order with God and each other. And that means worshiping God alone and trusting in Him and not God dollar. My friends, can we do that? Can we truly proclaim with the gusto that we finally proclaimed this morning at the beginning of this message, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" Can we truly make this profession now, having heard what it entails? Let's find out. The Lord is my helper.
Lord,
I will not be afraid.
What can anyone do to me?
My friends, I don't care what you face in this life. I don't care what problem is in your way. I don't care what stumbling block is before you. I don't care what sickness, what pain, what fear may be imprisoning you. I don't care what faces you today. With God as your helper, you will not be afraid. No one can do anything to you that would separate you from the love of God. Only you can turn your back on Him. Don't do that. Turn to face Him. Accept the love He has for you, the agape love He gives you from the cross. And then share that love, the phileo love, the Philadelphia, the brotherly love for each other's. Here in the pews and outside those doors, hospitality, and to those in prison, whatever kind, keep our relationships pure and worship God alone. That's our calling today. My friends, I want to hear it again. Say it with me this time. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and let the people of God say, Amen.